hateful on this page. It was only stuff about the strike and our demands and what we're hoping to accomplish. But this is the kind of guerrilla tactics that we're going up against, being branded as liars and cheats and, you know, rabble rousers and, you know, taking down our pages, saying it's filled with hate speech. That's what they choose to do with us instead of even sitting down and talking as men.
So currently you don't have a Facebook page, but people can write to you at instafabworkers2015@yahoo.com. That's instafabworkers. K-E-R-S, 2015, right?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Yeah, it's a mouthful, but it gets the job done.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, so we want to say thank you for joining us. Matt Mohm, Laramie Lexow, William Russell, all strikers at InstaFab. Folks out there who would like to tell somebody else to listen to this show if they missed it tonight, this and everything else is archived at www.kboo.fm. Tell folks to go there and check it out. Also want to thank Mike, the engineer, for making everything sound good, better than we actually do in here. Stay tuned if you're out there. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline coming up next, and thanks for listening to Labor Radio. Good night.
Thank you.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
And whatever hood you represent, I know it's a lot of bad out there, but guess what? It's a lot of good too.
It's that time again. Time for another three-day community festival at Good in the Hood 2015, which is sure to bring even more than before. Starting June 26th through June 28th at Lil's Albina Park, there will be a celebration of community with live music, kid space, lots of local foods, and a chance for health screening too. KBOO is also in the Good in the Hood parade, and we want our members and volunteers to participate. For more information, contact Ani Haynes at volunteer@kboo.org. Again, Good in the Hood, Friday, June 26th through Sunday, June 28th. And KBOO will be broadcasting live on Saturday, June 27th. See you in the hood.
I know it's a lot of bad out there, but guess what? It's a lot of good.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime, and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel
somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, and the dreams that you dare to why. Oh, why can't I?
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland. I'm Karen James. At the end of 2014, the Oregon Department of Corrections ended funding for the Family Preservation Project at Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, Oregon's only women's prison. The Family Preservation Project was a holistic, evidence-based program that helped incarcerated women reunite with their children, learn parenting skills, and reconcile with their families. With me are Nova Sweet and Melissa Vitalero, who are working toward legislation that will ensure that our state prioritizes the needs of children with incarcerated moms. Welcome.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So, Melissa, let's start with you. You have just released from prison.
I did. I was released May 8th. I was incarcerated for 5 years under a Measure 11 law, and it's great to be home.
And you participated in the Family Preservation Project. Tell us about that.
Well, the Family Preservation Project is a program where our children come in 2 times a month to do 3-hour visits inside the institution with us. We do classes weekly. Tuesday nights are parent education, and Fridays are children education. They facilitate phone calls with us to our children's schools and caregivers. And out of the 5 years that I was incarcerated, those are the memories that my son remembers from that. Other than that, I don't really can't think of any time that he's ever talked about an event or a visit, but Family Preservation Project is where we forged our bond.
And how long were you in the Family Preservation Project?
I was in the program for 3 years. So my son was three when we began, and he was six when it ended.
And did you have a relationship with your son prior to incarceration?
Well, my son was 1 year old when I was incarcerated, so it was very difficult. And visits are very hard to bond and make memories. And so I didn't really have too connected of a bond. Through the program, we were able to get down on the floor and snuggle with our kids and eat lunch and read books, and we can go to a quiet corner if there's an issue, and visiting doesn't allow that. So this program was really what gave me my relationship with my son.
And releasing, you just released. Tell us about releasing and reconnecting with your child.
It's amazing. It's a lot more difficult than I thought it would be for myself personally. But as far as our relationship, we were just in sync right away. We have all these memories and pictures and things that we talk about, and I know his interests, and it's amazing. I can't even explain it. It's amazing.
And what do you think that relationship would be like coming out of prison after 5 years and facing your son?
Well, I've talked about this a lot. You think that it's going to be really easy when you get out. I have very good support. I have a great family. I had a stable place to live. And so I figured it would just be really easy. But it was really hard for me to navigate my transition and kind of figure out where my place in the world was, because I was there for so long. And it's made me wonder, what would that be like to have to rebuild a relationship with my child while navigating the world, you know, for the first time in so many years? And you can't put your child on hold. That's immediate. You need to be there. You're the mom. You need to be that mom. And I'm just so grateful that I had that opportunity to know him and know his interests and snuggle with him and things like that, because it would be difficult. Everything is very daunting right now. So I'm glad that I don't have that anxiety when it comes to our relationship, because I know it's stable and I know that it's strong.
And Nova, tell us a little bit about your experience with the Family Preservation Project.
The Family Preservation Project gave me all sorts of confidence and experience and humility and forgiveness. It gave me a second chance at life in a very low place in my life. I was, you know, coming to terms with some poor choices that I had made along the way, and wanting to reconnect with my family and be the mom that I always dreamed about being. And the Family Preservation Program gave me that that opportunity through the visits that Melissa talks about, through the classroom settings that she also spoke of. We also got to do some one-on-one counseling to work through our own personal issues, whatever those may be. And it was really nice being around a group of other women where I felt welcomed and normal, and it was okay to say that I didn't know how to play with my daughter, because I felt like all moms should know how to play with their kids and not feel frustrated or confused, or I would try too hard, or all these different things. And all the women there, including the women who ran the program, said, "It's okay, Nova, you're normal. Just give yourself a break, take it, you know, moment by moment." And that's been huge for me. It transformed my life, literally. And so I it's a priceless program, and I don't know what else to say other than I'm so grateful for where I'm at today because of this program.
And how long were you in the Family Preservation Project?
My daughter and I were in the program for about 18 months. I was incarcerated for about 3 years. I released on February 26th, and my transition home was seamless. It was beautiful. I immediately was up making lunches for my kids the next morning. I was able to get my driver's license a couple days later and drive my kids to school, pick them up from school, all sorts of things. And I also have a 15-year-old son who was less involved because of his teenage experience. And he said to me, "Mom, it's like we didn't have to get to know you all over again. We just know you." and my sister knows you. And she, my son has said huge things about how he's seen his baby sister just blossom in the last 18 months prior to me releasing from prison, that he's seen her go from this little quiet kid who doesn't really want to talk about her mom to having all these mommy stories, as he calls them. When my daughter's friends would come over and I wasn't home, my daughter could also say, yeah, well, my mom and I did this too, whatever it was, rather than just shut down and not say anything when these kids were talking about their parents.
No, but why exactly did the Oregon Department of Corrections decide to end the Family Preservation Project?
What we were told was the $300,000 per biennium could be used in better places. And I think the DOC has some legitimate concerns. They want to be able to service more people, right? And I agree. I think more people should have FPP. I think that there shouldn't be any reason that every mother who is incarcerated who can rebuild a relationship with their children should get FPP-like services. So I do agree with them on that. The piece here is that we need money. And so they chose to put that $300,000 somewhere else.
So what programs are now in Coffee Creek to help women connect with their children?
There is a program called Parenting Inside. It is a 12-week course, I believe, and there is absolutely zero interaction with your children. So it's just more focused on the literature about how to be a positive parent and your skills and your tools, but there's no hands-on. So it's great in theory, but at the end of the day, there's nothing that will reconnect you with your child. It will tell you how to reconnect once you're released, but there's no hands-on. And I think that that's important for us as well as our children, because it gives us that connection, which is what you need to repair.
So the Oregon Department of Corrections chose to end funding for this wonderful program called the Family Preservation Project. When you both heard about ODOC canceling this program, what did you do? Nova?
We were devastated. The Department of Corrections called this meeting where all the moms got to come into this certain room, and then our administrators for the program were in the space as well, and we knew the captain was there, so we knew something big was happening. And they proceeded to tell us that they've chose to end the program. And all of our mouths dropped, and I'm sure half of us started crying immediately. Many of us were very angry. We all had lots of questions, and they did a really good job honoring that space for us to ask and process and challenge and whatnot. At the end of that conversation, we said to the administrators of the Department of Corrections, what can we do? Can we fight to get our program back? And they said, yeah, you can. You can fight. And so that's what we started doing.
What exactly did you do?
We immediately began writing letters, and we've kind of had focus groups to determine what we were going to say and to whom. So we just wrote until our fingers broke. We were contacting senators and legislators and DOC representatives, and we kind of prompted this big tidal wave of support for FPP. And it just so happened at the same time we were filming a documentary. So the focus of that documentary shifted from just understanding mothers in prison to, let's get this program reinstated. Let's, you know, keep this alive. So it was really amazing timing. It really worked out well. And we worked really hard. There was about 12 of us moms, and we just made sure we were heard over and over and over again.
So this letter writing campaign started from prison.
Absolutely. Another really neat piece of this is the main part of the program had 12 participants. There was also a broader part of the program, which is our resource center, which had about 30 women who are incarcerated that didn't get to visit their kids, but got to stay in contact with their kids in various ways. And then all of the minimum population, which is about 600 women. Everybody loves the Family Preservation Project. There's something to see these kiddos come in two Saturdays every month playing with their moms. It lights up people's faces. It gives that institution hope. And so what happened was, once all of the women in the facility heard what was going on, it wasn't just us writing letters. It was our friends that lived in the units who don't even have kids writing letters. It was them contacting their families who were writing letters or calling senators, because everybody knows how important children are and how much that program helped change lives. Just the ripple effect of seeing people do better and build bonds. It's pretty awesome.
So who did you contact, and what came of all of this letter writing?
The people we focused on initially were Senator Shields and Jennifer Williamson, House Representative, because they are key legislators who are interested in prison reform, prison system, helping the underdog. We just knew that we should contact them. From there, we also would contact DOC representatives like Heidi Stewart and Colette Peters. We just wanted people to understand that we believe in this program and we want other people to believe in it too. We also contacted the governor. We wrote the governor a lot, but this was back when Kitzhaber was still in place. So once Kate Brown was in place and we started contacting her as well. And it just continued to grow.
Has the governor responded?
So I released at the end of February, and since releasing, I've actually met Kate Brown. Kate Brown sat down with myself, Ashley, and Katrina, which are also two program participants who released in February as well. Miss Katz, Brian Lindstrom, who was the producer for the Mothering Inside documentary, and then several other people that are interested in saving our program. And we all had a roundtable meeting in her office about how to reinstate the Family Preservation Program. I even have pictures with her. So yeah, absolutely. She's responded.
I just can't imagine. You're both just released from prison after years, and you jump into writing legislation and working toward legislation to help fund this very important program at Coffee Creek and for the benefit of other women. You're out. You're with your children. Pretty remarkable.
Thank you. I had the benefit and misfortune of still being in Coffee Creek after the program was cut. So I was in the program for 3 years, and then they ended it in February, and I didn't release till May. So I got to see, there's kind of a certain level of, you let your children down when you go to prison, and it's traumatizing for them as well as us. And we had this little piece of being a mom, and they had a little piece of their mom, and then it's taken away again, and it re-traumatizes them. So I got to see the aftermath of that, and absolutely, it's something I'm willing to fight for. It's for our children.
So if you just tuned in, this is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James with my guests Nova Sweet and Melissa Vitalero, who just released from prison and are working to reinstate a program canceled by the Department of Corrections that brought children into the prison to connect with their mothers inside. So talk about what you've been doing since the letter writing campaign. You connected with the Oregon state legislators, people in DOC. What has come of all of this?
Initially, we started working weekly at the Salem Capitol in a work group to develop Senate Bill 939. We were part of the language, the services, everything that's in that bill. We had our hands in saying, yes, no, do it differently. We like that, whatnot. It was really neat to be able to sit at a round table with legislators and professionals and DOC staff and like collaborate as a team for the best interest of kids with parents who are incarcerated. From that work group, like I said, Senate Bill 939 was birthed, and now it's going through the steps for a bill to become a law, much like we learned back in elementary school. You know, it goes through all these checks and balances, and eventually we'll have to go in front of a Ways and Means Committee, which actually attaches money to the bill, which is necessary to make a program like this work.
So exactly what is Senate Bill 939?
Senate Bill 939 directs the Department of Corrections to parent with a nonprofit agency to provide FPP-like services inside the facility. One of the big hangups before was that DOC for 4 years was footing the bill. And so my understanding is that the Department of Corrections does support such a program, but they just need some help with money. So this allows them to work with a nonprofit organization, which nonprofits can then do fundraising and all sorts of other ways of earning money in addition to the legislative money to bring these services into moms who are incarcerated. It will include the therapeutic visits, the phone calls, the interactions with the schools, the individual therapy, the classroom settings for both adult education and child/parent education. The sky's the limit. One of the things that the Department of Corrections and the bill and ourselves want to do is we want to service more women. We want more people to benefit from these services. And so I'm excited about this bill passing. There's also another bill started by Jennifer Williamson, House Bill 3503, which is a alternative sentencing type program for women, or I guess it will be for people who have children. I believe it's going to be directed towards women. I haven't been a part of those work groups as much, so I'm not as familiar. But what I do know is that these two bills complement each other, that Jennifer Williamson's bill, again, 3503, deals with prior to going into prison and trying to redirect those women to other community-based alternative incarceration programs so where they can still stay connected to their kids and not have to deal with all the red tape of the Department of Corrections. So that's one avenue. On the other side is Senate Bill 939 for those who actually do make it into the system and keeping kids connected to their parents that way. So these bills really work well together. And I know Williamson and Shields are both trying to make a huge change in the state of Oregon.
So House Bill 3503 is prior to going to prison. So it's a sentencing alternative?
House Bill 3503 is a family sentencing alternative pilot program.
And House Bill 3503 is more for to keep them out of prison. And they would instead remain in the community under strict supervision, including house arrest and electronic surveillance. And they have to complete certain parenting skills classes or drug and alcohol, mental health treatment, life skills classes, a lot of requirements with that house bill. So that is more along the lines of what they're doing up in Washington State right now. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. House Bill 3503 is similar to a successful program up in Washington State that's already been up and running for many years.
So these are bills that we are putting before our state legislature. They're going to cost taxpayer dollars. What do you say to someone who is listening who may wonder, well, you're expecting the taxpayers now to pay for programs that if you didn't go to prison, if you didn't commit a crime, if you didn't have to do the time, you would be with your children. How do you respond to these folks?
Well, they're right, first of all, and I can't change what I've done, and I'm pretty sure there'll be other people that make mistakes and judgment errors and suffer from addiction and whatnot. So because that's going to happen, then I'd like to ask for people to pay it forward and try and make a change. And you asked earlier about why do I fight so hard for other people and other people's kids. And I do that because I want to pay back the taxpayers and I want to pay back my community by making a difference. So I will continue to fight because I am sorry for what I did and I am grateful for what my community has done for me. And I'm forever grateful for the Department of Corrections and the Family Preservation Project for changing my life. And I believe that if this program can be available to all moms, that more people are going to want to change their lives. And in the end, that's going to reduce crime rates, and that's going to improve our family systems, and it's going to improve our children's well-being and their ability to grow into these amazing adults who don't ever even think about committing a crime.
What are the statistics around children with incarcerated moms or dads?
The statistic is that our children will be 75 times more likely to end up incarcerated themselves. So it's pretty high, and we'd like to intervene as early as possible with that. And Nova made a really good point earlier, going back to what you said about why people should use taxpayer dollars. In life, there are a lot of things that happen. There are deaths and there are traumatic events for everyone. And I think it's important to understand that things do happen. And when things of that nature happen, when someone dies or they move or there's some sort of trauma in a child's life, it's addressed. Our society as a whole has programs and people set up to help with that. And incarceration happens. It happens to moms. It happens to normal people. And our children deserve that chance to work through that trauma.
So how can people help?
People can help by contacting their state representative and senators in Salem. Now, the legislative session is going on and we'll be doing so through the end of June and the first 2 weeks in July. So people need to speak up now and let their voices be heard. If you're a constituent, which means you're a voter in that area, then these people that are in the government do what we want them to do. And the more people that say, hey, we want programs like this in our prisons, the more they're going to meet in a big room at the end of the day and say, yeah, let's fund the Family Preservation Project. Let's pass Senate Bill 939 and House Bill 3503. Let's make a difference.
So you mentioned a documentary that you were participating in or you were involved with while you were both still in prison at Coffee Creek. Talk about the documentary by Brian Lindstrom.
The film is a documentary called Mothering Inside. It was done by Brian Lindstrom. And basically, it was kind of a fly-on-the-wall approach. He just came in and sat in on classes and visits and actually even went to a couple of our family's houses. He watched, you can see my son drive up to the prison and having breakfast before a visit. And it was just a really amazing experience. And I just recently saw the film for the first time after being in Coffee Creek, and it was very emotional for me. It brought up a lot of emotion that I felt like I was back there, and it was really powerful to me. And there was a lot of people in the audience that were very moved by it. And I think that it's a very important perspective to see. You know, you see us interacting with our children, and you see the caregivers, and you see the angst and the happiness, and it just gives all sides. So it's very important. Mothering Inside has its own Facebook page as well. So there's a lot of links to how to get involved and, you know, how to contact your legislators. So, yeah, it's amazing. Brian Lindstrom is an amazing man. It was a great experience.
And you both were in the documentary.
Yes. All the moms and families were involved. So there was about 12 of us. And our facilitators of the program, Jessica Katz and Aaron Webb and Nicole Sardella. Yeah, we were all in it. It was an interesting experience.
The documentary, because of what's going on with the program being canceled and the legislative session being currently underway, has kind of taken over Oregon, if you will. We've had viewings from Vancouver down to Corvallis at various locations, just getting the word out. The documentary is a half hour long, and then it's always followed by a question and answer period because people always want to know what they can do to help. And what we're finding is lots of people don't know what goes on in prison. And I mean, I guess that was the case for us too before we went there. So there's a huge disconnect from the society and what the hurdles are for moms or people in general who go to prison around how to make a phone call, how to make sure you have toothpaste and deodorant and all sorts of things. So it's a really neat opportunity to bridge that gap and to inform our community members on what it's like to be in prison and then also generate some more support for the program.
So talk about some of the links. You said Mothering Inside has its own Facebook. How can people find out more about this issue?
Well, I know one of the things we ask people to do is go to the Mothering Inside Facebook page and like our page. And I believe we have over 1,000 likes, and I guess that's a big deal is what I've learned. We have a Move On petition, which you can go to the moveon.org petition, read through one of our sisters, Lynetta, her story, and choose to sign the petition ideally. And we have over 3,000 signatures, I think 3,100 signatures right now.
I know up in Washington State with their program, Connecting Moms and Dads with Their Children, the Department of Corrections in Washington State is partnering with other state agencies to reduce duplication of services. Is there anything in the Senate or House bill, these bills that are being proposed, that would require DOC to partner with other state agencies?
Not specifically that I'm aware of, but there's all sorts of programs that want to kind of come together and offer comprehensive overview program to parents and being able to individualize services within that. So there's lots of organizations in the state of Oregon that are supportive of the Senate Bill 939, and it came together at the work groups and continue to be supportive in various meetings. And I believe that all of these organizations will figure out a way to work together and that they don't necessarily have to have that in language saying you must do it. I just think that people want to do it. Some of these organizations are the whole foster care system, YWCA, Northwest Impact, Parenting Inside Out, offers a certain level of services. Partnership for Safety and Justice has been a huge support as well. So there's all sorts of different components, whether or not they directly have their hands in offering the services, they at least support the services. And I'm sure along the way would be there for some sort of collaboration or whatnot. Another piece to the Senate Bill 939 is addressing the huge barriers around getting to the institution to see a mom. The Family Preservation Project provided gas cards and a way for the children to meet our program administrators at the door and come in with them, so caregivers didn't have to actually come into the institution. That's been huge for families, because not everybody can get approved on visiting lists to bring a kiddo in to see their mom. So the Senate Bill 939 directs that kids can actually just come into the prison and be in this space with their moms. Also directs to help provide gas cards. And even in some situations for kids who may have special needs that can't travel as much in a day, they will provide hotel vouchers, various things to help the kids actually be able to see the parents. All the barriers that we take for granted every day when we get in our car and drive somewhere, the DOC and the Senate Bill 939 have looked at those and said we need to be able to provide these things to people, because we don't look at those things. We forget about those things, and then that becomes the major hurdle in somebody's life and the reason why, you know, a child can't go see their mom.
So again, please contact your legislators in Salem and urge their support for Senate Bill 939 and House Bill 3503. My guests, Nova Sweet and Melissa Vitalero, thank you and good luck with this very important project. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline, where you can also find all the links mentioned tonight. Thank you to KBOO and our engineers, Michael and Danielle. Good night.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 28th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place July 2nd through 5th at Waterfront Park in Portland. Four stages, 100 performers, including the Greg Allman Band, Galactic with Macy Gray, and Buddy Guy. There will be after-hours performances, shows on the Portland Spirit, and much more. Again, that's the 28th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, Thursday, July 2nd,